chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9, and we'll read all the way to verse 23. Acts chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." And remember, what's happening here is God visited Cornelius, and Cornelius has sent delegates to find Peter in obedience to God. Peter had something for them. And he, this is Peter, on the rooftop as he prays, verse 10, "And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common.' This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, 'Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into the house, into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. So we pray for your blessings, Lord, as we've read this and now it's time to study and to see what you have for us tonight. I pray that it would be clear, the message that you have for us, and that we would have hearts that are open, prepared and ready to receive your message. Lord, where we need to be convicted, I pray for conviction, for your touch, your blessing. Guide us in your path. Empty us of self, Lord, and just use us as vessels tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was a kid, we would have pickup basketball games. And with those pickup basketball games, sometimes what you would do is you would have the kids line up, and then you would have two guys that would be the main captains. And usually it was either the older guys or what we would consider the better players. And those were the guys that selected their players one at a time, you know, alternating back and forth. So whoever the first captain was, he would pick the guy he wanted on his team, usually the best player. Then the alternate would pick the remaining best player. And it would go through the list until you had two guys left, or sometimes one guy left. Nobody picked him. He got put on a team. I mean, more it was like this. You get to the last pick, and then you have to take the last guy. It's like, oh man, we got Timmy on our team. I mean, we're toast. I mean, there's a chance we could lose. Timmy, don't ever touch the ball. In fact, just stand over here, and we'll take care of it. When it comes to sports, we pick the best players. And we do that because we want to win. The Olympics are going on. I mean, we don't pick the guys in the G League to be on the Olympics. You know what I mean? We pick the best players because we want to win. And that's how it works. Hey, think about this. when God selects people to be in the ministry, he's not picking the most talented or the best. He doesn't work like we do. He picks the right people. He doesn't pick like we would pick what we would consider are the most talented or the best. He picks the right ones. And so in the church, we're going to find out in a few weeks that God visits the church, and there are servants in the church, and they are serving, and they are involved, and they're active, and they're just doing what they do. They're praying, and they're seeking God, and they're involved. And God selects from those men Saul and Barnabas, and he called them to a ministry or to a work that he had for them. It wasn't just that God is saying, I'm picking the best, but he's picking the right people. And just like God selected Saul, God selects from this group right here. And just like God selected Barnabas, God selects from this group right here. And you think, whew, I'm glad, because, you know, amongst the group, do we have the most talented? Or do we have the most gifted? Or do we have the ones with the most abilities? No, I'm sure that there's some ability out there. And I'm sure there's some talent. And amongst us, I'm sure that there are some that are above average in those abilities or in those talents. But you need to understand tonight, God doesn't look at our resume, or he doesn't look at our abilities when it's time for him to select who he's going to use. And so what God wants when he's looking for his servants is people who are available, not just people who have the talent. He's looking for people who are there. And that's what he finds with Peter here. Look at our text. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So we have Peter here, and what Peter is doing is what he always did. He's praying. He's walking with God. He's seeking the Lord. And it was a routine for him. I mean, we can see that. It's implied in the passage. Peter was praying because that's what he did. The idea here is he had a walk with God, and God came to him and had a plan for him and a mission for him. But what one thing that we can see what caused him to become qualified to be used of the Lord is he was walking with God. And we want to be used tonight, but we need to have a walk with God. We need to be seeking him and walking with him. And that's what makes us qualified, is that we're available. Y'all are all laughing and smiling. The Lord's bringing that wind because the Spirit is moving in. Amen. We need to hear from him. And we need him to work in us. We need him to stir in us. Like we see the dirt all flying around, we need him to do that in us, to stir us up tonight. And so Peter was available, and God's going to use him because he's walking with God, and he is serving God, and God visits him. That's the kind of visit we need from God. By the way, don't think of it as a negative thing when God starts pressing and speaking to you. Like, oh man, Pastor, he's been hot on fire the last several weeks, preaching like, you know, these pressing and burning kind of sermons. No. Don't think of it that way. Think of it this way. God has something for you, and he's pricking you, and he's speaking to you because he wants to move you and stir you to a place like Peter so he can use you. The people God uses are the people who are available and the people who want to serve him and want to be used of him. So don't think of it as a negative thing. So Peter here is praying. Look at verse 11. He saw the head. So God, he falls into a trance. In other words, there is a vision that God is going to present to Peter because God has a mission for him. He has a ministry for him to do. In verse 11, it says he saw heaven opened. I want to note that because what he's about to see is going to stir him. It's going to disturb him. It's going to cause him to feel, like he's really going to struggle with what God is going to ask him to do. And so to start off with in his vision, the Bible says the heavens open, and whatever comes to present itself to Peter, note this, it's coming from heaven. So God has something for Peter, and we just need to know right at the beginning, man's not coming up with this. It's coming from heaven. This is coming from God. As hard as it is to hear, as hard as it is to embrace and to move forward in obedience, it's coming from heaven. Look at verse number 13. there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So God here is telling Peter to do something that he had never done before. He sees clean, he sees unclean animals on this sheet that's lowered from heaven. And God says, "I want you to kill and eat." This was disturbing to him because he'd never done this before. Levitical law, in fact, in Leviticus chapter 11, taught what the Jews were, what they were able to eat and what they were not supposed to eat. And so on this sheet would have been things in Leviticus 11 that God had previously said, don't eat these things. But now the message is coming from heaven that God wants him to eat. So it would have been confusing. He would have struggled with that. Because in his heart, it would have seemed to contradict what he had always done in the past. Note this for a minute. It would have seemed to contradict what he had always done in the past. It might be true along the way that what you've always done in the past, God has something else for you in the future. We don't just stay stuck where we are because that's what we've always done. We need to have our hearts open to hear from God because there's... Along the way, there's going to be times when God's going to speak to you afresh and he's going to lead you in a direction he's not led you before. And that's what God's doing to Peter. But he struggled with that. And so he responds in verse 14, but Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Consider that for a minute. As he knows he's speaking to the Lord, he said, "Not so, Lord." But he refuses to obey the Lord in this command, in this message from God to kill and to eat. He doesn't want to obey. He struggles with obedience. The same can be true in our life, can't it? Where God is speaking to us and he's guiding us to be involved with things, but we're struggling to obey him. Like, for example, let's say I'm thankful for the boys to sing. That was tremendous. And the group that sang this morning, that was tremendous. I mean, I'm thankful for the singing. It might be that God is working in your heart to sing. Like he's stirring, he's saying, he's speaking to you. He's saying you need to be involved with the singing. But you don't really want to be involved with the singing. And so there's a struggle for obedience. There's a struggle to obey the Lord. It's as though when Peter heard from God, "I want you to kill and eat," and Peter said, "Not so, Lord," God speaks to us, and instead of saying, "Lord, I don't know why you're asking me to do this. I don't feel like I'm the most qualified person to be involved with this. But okay, I'll obey you." But instead of doing that, what we often do is, "Not so, Lord." Amen. It might be that God is speaking to us to dress up a little bit more when we come to church. Like, "I don't like wearing ties." Well, join the club. You know, I don't always laugh. Right now might be a good moment. I'm actually sweating. I'm like, man alive, you know. But, we have to see past that. And it might be that God wants to stir in us, to speak to us about our appearance when we are worshiping and serving him. Maybe it's dressing up a little bit or wearing a dress or looking nice when we're presenting ourselves before God. And I get it. We're not outwardly worshiping Lord, but inwardly worshiping. But when we're inward right, it shows itself on the outside too. But you might say, "Not so, Lord." As he speaks and he shows us the way he wants us to go, but there's a conflict in us to obey him. Might be that he's speaking to us tonight about just being passionate about the gospel, being excited to serve, passionate to tell people about Jesus, to give tracts, to be a witness, to talk to our family, to make an invitation to a coworker. And God is pressing on our heart to be more vocal or to be more active or to be more passionate or to let a burden stir within us. But instead of moving and obeying God as he works in our hearts, we say, "Not so, Lord." Maybe not verbally, but in our actions, we say, "Not so, Lord." So we can relate to Peter. And God is leading him, and God leads us, and we struggle sometimes to obey him. It might be true that God is working in your heart to come to this altar. And you don't want to. And there's a fight there. Coming to the altar, do you know what it represents? The altar in the Bible represents sacrifice. That's what it represents. Anytime you see in the scriptures the altar, what's happening at the altar is there's sacrifice that's happening. And when God's working in your heart and you know He's drawing you, speaking to you, and there's a compelling that's happening to get to the altar, and we resist what God's wanting to do in us, this resistance is not between you and me. It's between you and what God wants to do in you. And your refusal is like Peter's refusal, not so, Lord. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "The voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common." So God speaks to Peter's refusal by saying, there's something that you don't understand about what I want to do. You're wrestling with me about something you don't understand, but you need to move forward in obedience, trusting that I know what I'm doing. When I was a kid, my brothers and I, we had WrestleMania in our bedroom. And I don't know why our parents let us do this. I felt like we're on the second floor, and I guarantee you it sounded like a zoo up there. And it was full on WrestleMania. Pull the sheets off I had a full size bed. All of us were in the same room. And I'm surprised there isn't huge holes in the wall. In fact, there was a couple holes, but we hid those. But so we threw the sheets off the bed. Well, that's WrestleMania. I mean, it's all on now. And here's how it works. This ring, it's not a bed anymore. This ring right here, this is my ring. And if you want this ring, then you come in and you get me off of here. And my brothers, they would come on. And we would fight each other on that mattress until somebody went flying off. And it usually wasn't me, but I mean, I was the oldest one. But they kept coming back for more. WrestleMania. Often in our life, when God is leading us, what's happening is like when God was speaking to Jacob, and we're wrestling with God. He's compelling us and He's leading us. He's leading us to respond to Him, but we're wrestling against Him. This is what Peter is doing here. God's working in him and He's wrestling against him. And God says, what you see and how you see it isn't the reality. Because what God has done is He has opened a door to the Gentiles, and Peter didn't see it as so. He struggled with this, but God knew what He was doing. God wanted to reach the Gentile world, and the door was open because Jesus made a way. Amen. Peter didn't understand that. He didn't fully understand it. God is teaching Peter here, you need to have a heart that's open, and there's someone who's going to come to your door, and He's going to knock on your door. There's three men who are going to come, and they're going to knock on your door, and you need to open that door, and you need to receive them, because I am working, amen. God is saying. Amen. He is working. You know what's amazing? Is God's working, and we sometimes don't see it. We get so distracted and overcome with the circumstances of our life that we miss it. And we can't see that He's working all around us. Have you ever had like just turmoil in your life? And you think, man, why is God letting this happen? And we get so distracted by what we perceive as turmoil that we can't see that God's working all the time. I mean, this is routine in our life. The devil wants, and our flesh wants us to be distracted away from what God is doing. But note this, God is working. And He's working in our lives. And I promise you, if you've been attending church, and everybody here has, I'll tell you this, He's working in your life. And He's speaking to you. And you're like, man, it's like Pastor won't get off my back. Or maybe you even acknowledge it. God won't get off my back about this. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because He's working and He has something He wants to do through you and in you. And you might not understand it and you resist it and you struggle with it. Like Peter, you say, not so, Lord, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And God said, trust me, I know what I'm doing, I'm opening the door. There's a ministry that you don't understand, a work that I want to do that you don't understand, and it's going to open the world, it's going to open the gospel to spread across the world. If you'll just trust me, Peter. I mean, think about it, church family. If Peter didn't obey God and trust Him in this manner, this church wouldn't be here right now. God has opened the door to the Gentiles. That's you and me. We are Gentiles. I don't think there's any Jews in here tonight. Man. And so, he's going to need to have trust because these men are about to knock on his door. And if you're a Jew and the people who knocked on his door are standing out there, you're nervous. Right? Like if you had a record and three policemen knocked on your door and you look through that hole, you're like, oh man, they got me. They found me. I don't know how they found me, but they found me. I'm not saying that's anybody in here, but the people who are about to knock on the door here are Roman soldiers. What do you think Peter remembers about Roman soldiers? I mean, perhaps he remembers growing up and being persecuted. Maybe he had family that were crucified, and he watched them crucified lining the streets of Jerusalem, because that's what the Romans did. Or maybe he remembers just not too long ago when Roman soldiers took his Savior and nailed him to a cross, and these men are at his door. There's going to need to be faith there. The Bible says in verse 17, while Peter doubted in himself, and we can understand that, with the vision, in the vision of the kill and the eat, behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. So there they are standing. Look at verse 20. This is God speaking to Peter. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. That message from God is to say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. You can trust me. I'm going to take care of you. And there is a reason for this. And so Peter, in obedience, please note this. In obedience, he goes down, verse 21. He went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. He wasn't hiding anything. Verse 22, they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feared God, and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and, note these last words, to hear words from thee. Yeah. So why did these guys come? Well, they need Peter. Well, why do they need Peter? Because Peter had a message for them. That's right. And they needed Peter to come to Cornelius' house so he could give them that message. Ooh, man, this is why missionaries need to go to the mission field. This is why God calls people from places just like this and calls us to be pastors and calls us to be missionaries, because he has a message. Watch, he has words that he wants to take from this place and deliver them across the world and give people a chance so they can have salvation. Amen. What a message. What a calling. What a responsibility. What a privilege. They just needed somebody. They just needed somebody to come. They had the message. They just needed somebody to come that would tell them. Amen. You know, there's people in the 1040 window. I'm talking billions of people, friends. They've never even heard the name Jesus. Amen. They've never heard the name. There's people in India right now who've never heard about Jesus. Somebody has to take the message to them. Somebody has to go. We have a word for them. It's not our word. It's God's word. Amen. And the call comes to this place. It comes to people like you and me. Verse 23, this is my favorite part of this passage. Note this, then called he them in. I mean, you just pause right there. And really, that's it. I mean, that speaks to Peter's heart of obedience. And these soldiers, they're standing out there. God sent us. God spoke to Peter. I sent them. And Peter said, come in. I'll take you in. As to say, I'll obey the Lord. Now, here's where the message is. The message is that sometimes God wants to change our path. Amen. Sometimes God wants to change us. But if, watch this, if we're going to be changed, we have to be open to be changed. Right. For Peter to invite these men into his home, that required a big change. He'd never done this. He'd never seen things this way. God spoke to him, and that was enough. And Peter said, I'll change. Do you know that's what we need?
Yes.
We need to have a kind of spirit that Peter has to say, you know what? I need to change too. We know there are stubborn people out there, right?
Amen.
Out there. I mean, not in here, but out there, stubborn people. Where, you know, we're not really interested in changing. And I've heard it before where there are people who are guests and they visit the church and they do as we would encourage. Find anywhere you want to sit and you just sit there. But with some people, it's you can sit anywhere you want to sit except my spot. Don't sit in my spot. You come in, you're like, okay, you're in my spot. You're going to have to move. I never met you before. I'm glad you're at our church, but you're going to have to be at our church over there. You know? Stubborn. How about this? Just not really wanting to change. Brother Dave McCracken, he said this, or I heard that he did this. I'm not sure that I heard him say this, but it was reported that when he was a pastor, can you imagine Brother McCracken being your pastor? Anyway. On a Sunday night, he came to church, and he was tired of just the rut that we get in. You know, the rut? We're just in the rut, and we just, you know. So what he did is he came into church like this. And he was just, why are you looking at me? This is normal. That's how he was going about. Brother McCracken, he never know what he's doing or thinking. And then he came up during announcements time, and everybody's laughing, and he's like, what are y'all laughing about, you know? And he said, today is backwards day, you know? And then he had everybody stand up. You're like, Pastor, how long are you going to do that? He had everybody stand up and find a different place to sit. Everybody had to find somewhere else to sit. And like, you stubborn people, you need to stand up, and you need to walk over there and sit on some other part of the auditorium. I'm leaving this off.
Amen.
For us tonight to evaluate what God wants to do in our life, we need to understand that as He's working in us, He's going to call us to do something or to make a change in our life that's going to be hard for us to change. It's going to be uncomfortable for us. But he's beckoning us to this. You're like, oh man, I've been resisting. I've been strong. God's not going to stop. I mean, He's been working on me, but I've been resisting. I've been strong. He's not going to stop. And by the way, if you just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on hearing the word and keep on hearing the word, who do you think is going to win? You or God? And we can get hard, but I promise you, the hammer of the word is it strikes harder than the hardest rock. He'll break you. He will. But He's not going to quit. He speaks to you. And here's what He's calling you to. If we can generalize it for a moment, He's calling you to change. We all need to change.
Amen.
Change is not comfortable. The nature of it tends to be uncomfortable.
Amen.
But we need to understand this is what, if God's going to work through us to do great things as He desires to do through us, we need to be open to let Him change us.
Right.
God, this is where I am. This is where you want to be. To get me from here to here, something's going to have to change. But we need to be open to it. Yeah. I need some helpers. I do want to use Kaylin. Is that okay if I use you as a helper? Okay. I need two more helpers. Luke, you want to be my helper? Anybody else? I'm just going to have to call. All right. Come on up here, Brother Jarrett. Come on up here. Okay. Which way do we read? This way. Okay. You stand over here, Luke. You stand in the middle, Kaylin. Okay. Uh-oh. It printed front and back. Man. Sorry, guys. You come over here. I should have checked that. Okay, so you hold this one, and Kaylin, you get to be just cute. Amen. Mission accomplished. Okay. Actually, hold my glasses for me. There you go. She's the eyes. Read this. Hold it high. Read that.
God.
Now flip it over. There you go.
Jesus.
And then say that.
People.
Okay, let's do it again.
God uses people.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? He uses people. Not the most talented, not the most gifted. He just uses people. Last time I checked, 99% of us are people tonight. Most of us are people. I think we qualify to be used of God. God uses people. You know what's amazing is actually these three, Kaylin, looking cute and having my glasses, Brother Jarrett, God's using people. This is all he does. He uses people that went like this. I'll come up there and be used. Kaylin, she didn't raise her hand, but I really wanted to use her. Luke raised his hand. Brother Jarrett raised his hand. He just uses people. That's it. Thanks, guys. You can go be seated. Give them a hand. They did great. Thank you. The hardest part of this process in our life is being open to change. It's hard to change sometimes. You know, sometimes it's easy, you know, like dynamics of life tend to make certain kinds of changes easier, but not always. So what do? We listen to him. We hear him, you know. He speaks to us. He calls us. He says, I have something for you. Will you let me use you? Will you be open? Because I want to change you. And if you're willing to be changed, look what I can do. Well, we didn't even see it yet, but that's what we're going to talk about next time. What happened? What happened when Peter showed up at Cornelius' house? Wait till you see that. It's going to give a chill to you from top to bottom. Amen. It's incredible what happens there. But here's where it started. I'll be willing to change. I always did it this way. I never really wanted to do this. I never really wanted to be involved, but God's compelling you. Let him change you. Let him change you. Father, tonight, what a blessing to be in your house, to be with our church family, and Lord, to be encouraged by Peter's testimony. And Lord, and I think it's natural to be hard on Peter. It's easy to be hard on him because, as we tease, he put his foot in his mouth all the time. And maybe we would look at this and we'd say, oh, there he goes again, Peter. Not so, Lord, putting his foot in his mouth again. But yet, when we evaluate our life, Lord, so often we're just like Peter. And you're wanting to change us, but we just don't want to change. It might be. So I pray even that much more tonight that you would compel us and speak to us and draw us to you and help us to have a heart that's open, willing to move, and to be what you'd have us to be. Thank you for the, as silly as this might sound, Lord, we thank you for the illustration of that wind blowing. And it might be that you just want to stir in us like you did with the weather tonight. So I pray that you would do that in us tonight. We'll give you glory for how you work. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If God